Welcome to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. In this podcast, we inspire advisors with ideas and pathways to break through barriers and build a thriving retirement income business. We will interview innovative technology developers, business leaders, and successful advisors, then help you organize and execute these ideas to move your business forward.
Hey folks, welcome to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. This is where elite advisors come to level up their practice. We have an array of industry and thought leaders that we bring to the table to get a little bit behind the curtain to talk about what's working for advisors, what we should be doing, what's not working. And so today I couldn't be more excited to have Robert Sophia from Snappy Kraken on. He is a superstar in the financial advisor space, particularly when it comes to talking to advisors about how to grow and, you know, Lord knows, we need to figure out how to achieve some organic growth. The statistics are a little depressing when you hear that, you know, the average firm's growth rate has gone from 9% down to 3% a year in the last couple of years. And so maybe we'll kick it off this way. Robert, introduce yourself. Tell the audience, you know, a little bit about your background, and then we'll ask a couple of stories, ask a couple of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. You got my attention with that growth rate declining. I'd love to talk about that. But I've been in this industry for 20 years almost. It's 2004 or 5, actually. I started in an RIA as the VP of marketing. I had been at Ford Motor in marketing before that. So from the auto business to the financial industry, found a home here. I was in my early 20s. Have been in it ever since. You know, I scaled a business from about 125, 150 million under management when I joined them. Up to about 650 million under management in less than 5 years, just by marketing. You know, great marketing processes and practices. And that's where I really found my love. I realized this industry was behind in marketing. I could help move it forward. And I started a marketing company in 2009, which I sold to FMG in 2016, and started Snappy Kraken. And Snappy Kraken is now my baby. So I'm 2016. So we're, you know, coming up on 8 years this year, and serving about 6,000 advisors, about $1 trillion in assets under advisement on our advisor base that they have collectively. And we're really data focused. We looked at about a quarter of a billion data points last year to figure out what's working for advisors. And we make decisions based on data to help our advisors be better marketers and drive better growth.
Well, okay, so let's dive into that organic growth thing. I mean, that's really, you know, on the tip of the tongues for a lot of folks, particularly if you're an RIA acquirer, or if you're an RIA who's being acquired. You know, it influences the valuations in that equation. I think David DeVoe says 1% increase in growth rate translates to a 7% increase in valuation. So, you know, if I'm selling, I want to know how I'm going to increase my payout, you know, through growth, right? So, you know, let's start there. So why are some firms growing, some individual advisors or firms, and maybe we need to parse that out, growing at while others aren't? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, there's a million reasons we could talk about. I think the biggest thing that I see, you know, having about 6,000 advisors on our platform and not all of them being growth oriented, some come looking for a silver bullet and others come and they are really investing in their growth. I think it's a lot of it's just mindset and focus. You know, market growth can cause advisors to become lackadaisical. In our industry, there's pretty high retention rates typically, although some of the recent studies have shown that clients are leaving or looking at other advisors at a faster rate. But largely in this industry, you've got high retention rates and market growth. And what that means is you can basically just service your clients and keep growing your income in a market like we've had. And that leads to some malaise that doesn't foster growth. And then you've got other firms that say, we're going to invest in growth. We're going to keep growing. We're going to keep acquiring clients. We're going to keep serving our clients at the same time. And those are the firms that are growing, and they're doing a lot of things. They're active. They have a strategy. They have a process. They're committed. They invest in people. They invest in marketing. They invest in resources. And that That's why they're growing. So could I talk about tactics all day long, specific things that firms are doing that are successful? Yeah, but broadly, that's how I would answer it. It's just a different mentality in growth firms.
So I wonder if some of it has to do with where the founder comes from, right? A lot of folks in this business came from other large firms, were trained in sales. You know, if they came from wirehouses, you know, that they had to build their client base. If they came out of an insurance complex, then, you know, they had to build their client list. And all of that was about sales, not so much about marketing. The mothership, you know, did the branding, did the, you know, sponsored the stadiums, did the Super Bowl ads and all of that. All right. And so, you know, your job as the advisor, you know, was to make those connections and get those folks on board. And so there's, I wonder if that is what it's about, that maybe we understand selling better than we understand marketing. What do you think?
I think that's true for a lot of advisors, and, you know, and how hungry you are is a factor too. And what your lifestyle is like. I mean, let's face it, comp is pretty good in this industry, right? So, you know, sometimes people just reach a point where they're comfortable. But there's definitely a hunger that some advisors have, and they're thinking about either growing for the sake of their personal benefit now, or oftentimes because of their exit strategy or their legacy, and they're trying to drive and fuel that. But if that hunger is not there, if you're not thinking about this from a scale perspective, scaling up, then yeah, you're just selling the opportunities that come across your desk. And that is definitely a different mindset.
So anything else? What else do you want to talk about with respect to organic growth?
Yeah. I think it's a really important point that advisors who think about their business as an asset that's growing, and they are trying to add value all the time by reinforcing it with strategy and tactics that drive growth, they have outsized results. And when I say that, what I mean is they're trying to build a growth engine. They're trying to have an asset that's more valuable. They're also trying to be able to reach and help and serve more people. And when we look at 6,000 firms and benchmark them, there are certain patterns that emerge. For example, there are advisors who are intensely focused at number one, growing the top of the funnel, building a bigger audience, getting in front of more people, creating more brand recognition. And they recognize that all those things are important, and they recognize that all those things bear fruit over time versus immediate. Then you have advisors who are much more transactional focused, and they say, well, I'm just going to go do seminars, and I know I'm going to use some of this language. You've heard it before, right? There's going to be, on average, 10 buying units at every seminar. And then they go and they write tickets. And, you know, those advisors have a very different mentality than somebody who's out there saying, like, I'm going to build a brand, I'm going to build exposure, I'm going to grow my profile, I'm going to build a bigger audience, I'm going to nurture that audience, I'm going to deliver value to that audience. And that's totally different outcome. And then the advisors who are thinking bigger, as I just described, then they know that that's not enough. They also recognize that they have to figure out how to turn that audience into meaningful conversations. They have to use different styles of marketing to get people to call them, to email them, to say, I want to talk to you. I have a question. I need help. And they have a process for that, and they have strategies for that. And then they have a sales process or an engagement process that they use to, after those dialogue, you know, those conversations are started, that dialogue is going to actually convert people into clients. And then I'm just kind of waxing on here, but then they have a way of systematically onboarding those clients, creating a great experience, and harvesting referrals from those clients. And that builds the audience further. And it becomes a growth flywheel where they're growing that audience, they're converting the audience into real, meaningful, engaged conversations, converting those people into clients, and then converting those people into referring clients. And it just continues over and over. And that style of scaling a business is driving growth for some firms, and other firms, you know, they're just not experiencing that because they're not approaching it that way.
So I think you made a really good point there. And the webinar you did recently with interviewing the three advisors, I think really highlights this, that they were all obviously extremely successful. There was a commonality in the tool set. You know, clearly Snappy was a backbone, but then you heard about seminars, you heard about client events, you heard about books, you heard about video, you heard about social media, you heard about websites. And so none of that is new, right? I mean, none of that was the cure for cancer. It really is. You know, so I'm a foodie and I love to cook, and you know, it's all about the recipe, right? And sourcing great ingredients. So I want to get great ingredients, but then I don't want to screw them up. And so that's kind of the impression I got from the guys and the lady and the two guys last week. You know, they get good ingredients, they put them together into a marketing action plan that makes some sense, and they're off to the races. So what was the trigger? What made the light bulb go off for them to say, I'm going to do that instead of I'm going to do three seminars a month and I'm going to have, you know, 100, I'm going to do three webinars a month. Here's the latest. I'm going to do three webinars a month, 100 will register, 50 will show up, 25 will book appointments. And out of that, half of them will become clients. And so look at that. I got a 50% closing ratio. Okay, hallelujah. But you only got a 4% conversion rate. You know, you started with 100 people and you closed 4. So, you know, good firms are more aligned than that, right? They have figured out, you know, if I'm going to get someone to become a client, I probably ought to figure out a way to speak to what they need to get them to want to do business with me, as opposed to my trying to figure out how to sell them. So what do you think? What's your experience?
Yeah, you're spot on. And that's one of the reasons I profile those firms. And, you know, I think about what you just said that those firms were doing, right? Seminars, client events, book, funnels. And most of the time when people start to engage with Snappy Kraken, and we have actually hundreds of thousands of advisors that, you know, have at some point come through our funnel, and we don't serve all of them, but that's because a lot of them just come and they're looking for that one thing. That one silver bullet. Like, what? Okay. So, is Snappy Kraken going to grow my business? Well, it can be part of that. Yes. But what else are you going to do in connection with it? And those advisors are perfect examples of having a strategic vision. So, let's just take the example that, you know, all three of them gave of doing seminars. All three actually did seminars as part of their strategy. And all three of them did online advertising. All three of them did television ads. So they got all these leads coming in from all these sources. So what happens with those leads? They just put them into marketing funnels. Why? Because they know either now or later, they'll eventually want to talk to the advisor. And then what happens when they do? When they finally do click through and say, I want that conversation. Well, now they ask the right questions to qualify them. Okay, now then what? Is that enough? No, then if they're qualified, they send them a kit in the mail with a book. Now that's expensive. Now they just invested in that book, but they send them a book and they send them recordings of their podcast. They have nurturing sequences that last for weeks that include links to the podcast, links to their videos, links to buy their book, links to their latest media appearances, links to their website, links to their blog. And why do they do all of that? Because they know it's not one and done. It's never one and done. You're building a brand, you're building credibility. You know, advisors often think about their competition, but you know, the biggest competition is trust. Because nobody trusts a stranger with their assets immediately. That's your biggest competitor. So what are you doing to build trust? See, they know that they have to go out there, build a brand that's trustworthy. Then they have to capture an audience by building enough trust to get their information. Then they have to nurture that audience enough to build so much trust that the person actually wants to talk to them or get advice from them. And that is not a one-step process. There's not a silver bullet. But the firms that understand that and do all those things, they experience the growth.
Spot on. You know, it's the trust thing is so important. And there are a lot of people who make the point of saying, our competition today isn't the advisor down the street. The competition is the latest great consumer experience. And you know, somehow Amazon and Netflix and DoorDash have figured out how to create trust without having someone pick up the phone and call me, you know? And so it's doable, you know, and probably more so today than ever before. Advisors have got to have that digital footprint. You know, as you start to think about next generation, so everybody talks about generational wealth transfer, but Gen X in their own right are big savers. We're looking at $50 trillion is what they're going to save and have to invest in the next 10 years. We're looking at $70 trillion that they're estimated to inherit from their parents. I mean, that's serious money even by government spending standards. And so they look for trust relationships in a different way. They're really digitally oriented. So what should advisors, what are the key things advisors need to be thinking about in terms of a digital presence, in terms of, you know, creating trust online? You know, I get that we want to have events with Jack, you know, have cocktails with Robert, you know, and get to know each other. But by the same token, the world's changed. You know, post-COVID, it's going to be predominantly digital. So what do we do as advisors? What should we be doing? What are the key things we want to make sure we're taking care of?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them. I will say, out of 250 million data points I referenced earlier in our report, there's about 40 pages of things that advisors can potentially think about and do to improve their online presence and marketing. But I will share with you what I think are the three most impactful and simple takeaways here. So when I looked at the distillation of all that data from our analysts, and I was trying to extract the insights from it, these are the three things that stood out to me. And collectively, they improve performance by well over 200%. So it's three things. So number one, advisors who invest in a local search and SEO strategy get twice as many monthly website visitors. Twice as many. So that's where it starts. Your goal is to build an audience, build traffic. So you want to double your traffic? Use a focused SEO strategy. So average website visitors for advisors who have websites with no SEO strategy, about 3,000 a month. Advisors who have an SEO strategy, it doubles to over 6,000. So that's, first of all, get more people there, more of the right people searching for the right things that you address on your website. One. Two, once they're there, capture them. So if people get to your website and then they leave, it does no good for your business. Maybe a little bit of brand recognition, but it's not turning into dollars, not today. But if you use the right lead capture mechanisms on your site, and by the way, this applies to landing pages too, then you convert those visitors into leads. So the second thing that is driving outsized conversion rates on websites, we have a beta group of about 200 advisors all running with text message opt-ins on their website. 400% increase in opt-ins. 400% increase in opt-ins. So what are your website opt-ins today? You want a 400% increase? Add a texting chat widget to your website. Text me your financial questions. Ask me about your investments. Get a free risk profile and let them do it by text message. 400% increase. That's number two. So get the traffic there. Get them to convert. Now, you got to build trust. You got to get a conversation started. You got to build credibility. So what do? Number three, we looked at all the communications. I'm talking about, I want to say it's, I don't have the report in front of me. It's millions, okay? Millions of emails. I think it's right about 6 million emails that we looked at. So somebody opts in. You look at their emails. You see what people are opening and clicking on, right? We have that data. 10,000 advisors, 6 million emails. What do we see? The conversion rate of people actually asking for a meeting with the advisor or asking a question from the advisor, like, could be anything. I mean, it's all over the map, but, you know, what do you think? How do you think the presidential election is going to impact markets? You know, what do you think of Tesla stock? Whatever it is, right? But getting them engaged to ask a question with the advisor. Number one way to do that is by sending them a message with a link to a video that lives on a page where they can submit a question. So what happens when you send that out? Your conversion rate goes from 17% on average for a text email to 37% on average. So it's 120% improvement increase. So what's the efficacy of your marketing? Double your visitors, 400% improvement in conversion rate, 120% conversion rate improvement. What have you just done for your business? It's big. And that those are the three most important digital growth strategies or tactics that I would endorse today.
So, and I 100% agree with all the things you just said. The one additional ingredient I'd put into that recipe at the awareness stage is to figure out what it is that you want people to find. And so if you think about it, I don't know if the Walmart strategy, we're going to answer all questions from everybody who comes through the front door, is necessarily the right thing for all advisors to do going forward. But I'm pretty sure that the idea of being really focused on a specific audience or a specific problem set, you know, that might be, you know, do you have recurring nightmares about living on cat food because you ran out of money? You know, are you afraid you're going to have to move in, you know, with your son-in-law, you know, because you can't afford to stay out of the nursing home, you know, whatever that pain point is. And we know what consumers are worried about, what they're losing sleep over. If you're aligned with that, if they're going to Google, where do I find, you know, solutions to my cat food nightmares, then, you know, if you've got the content there, you're got a much higher possibility of converting them, right? From leads to prospects. And then if you've got a way to say, all right, well, you know, let's talk about this. You know, I want to hear what your concerns are. And, you know, let's sit down and figure out, you know, what you have to do in order to, you know, solve that problem. And, you know, we've got a tool set as advisors that can do that. And so now we're converting, you know, prospects into meetings and ultimately the meetings into clients and the clients into evangelists because we're more focused. I'm probably more sensitive about this conversation because we just had this a couple of weeks ago with Carl Richards, who is, you know, like the neurosurgeon on getting niche oriented, right? And so I really think that being a little bit more focused so you can be more personalized so that, you know, it's not a generic experience, but it's really more, wow, that they're really speaking to me. So yep. What do you think? Have I walked off the deep end?
No. You're spot on. I think, you know, I didn't say those things, but everything that I referred to should be focused on a specific audience. There's no doubt. I mean, we don't want to do broad strokes for everybody. Even the advisors I was interviewing last week in the webinar you referred to, you know, they have specific qualifying questions they ask. Some have 1, 2, 3 questions. One of them said, you know, I ask every prospect before I engage with them, you know, do they have at least $250,000 saved for retirement? Okay, fair question. So there is that, but there's also just even SEO. It's not effective if you try to market to everybody. You can't. You have to market to the audience. So if you know your audience is having cat food nightmares, you better have content on your website. So when they Google the solution to their cat food nightmares, they're finding you. So I'll give you an example. SEO. Advisors want to rank. They want to be on the first page. You ask almost any advisor, what do you want to be on the first page for? And they're like, oh, you know, I want to be on the first page for retirement planning. It's like, okay, great. You want to come, how many millions do you have to spend? Cause you want to compete with Ken Fisher, you know, I want to be on the first page for, should I buy an annuity? Well, good luck because you're not going to get it. So, at least probably not with your budget. So what do you got to do? You got to get specific. So we have advisors who specialize in working with tech companies and the employees at those tech companies get RSUs. And so they will use something specific in their SEO strategy around, you know, do you work at Jack C. Martin Industries, then find out how to maximize your RSU grants. So
that was genius last week. I think it was the lady you had on the panel who said, we literally are firing localized advertisings around that specific concept that you just said. And yep. That just made so much sense. Absolutely. You know, Go ahead. I'm sorry, interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're so yeah, it's always rifle. It's never buckshot. And you've got to know your audience. And that's what you're saying, Jack. You know, if you don't know who your clients are and what your ideal clients like and what's keeping them up at night and you're not speaking to that, you're already losing. And the advisors who do that and do it well, they have endless referrals. You know, I'll just give another example. I've got an advisor right now. We just redid his website and his brand and all of his marketing funnels and everything for him. And, you know, he's crushing it because he just works with Ferrari owners.
There are a lot of good things about that market.
Well, it is, but it's just like, think about that. He works with he is the official financial partner of the Ferrari Club of America. And how he got in there is a little bit of a individual miracle, but most of those people are business owners. Most of them are entrepreneurs and executives. So all of his messaging is tailored to entrepreneurs and executives. You go to his website, it's all fast cars, you know, on his website. And that's just, you know, it's a magnet because everybody who's in that club or drives a Ferrari goes to his site and they immediately see themselves. They just, oh, this is the advisor for me. And we got advisors who do it with first responders. And we got advisors who do it with women who've been shunned by their husbands and replaced with younger women. And we got advisors, you know, there's a niche for you and you got to know it and you got to market to it.
Yeah. So the other beautiful thing of that approach is it helps you build trust much faster, right? People want to be heard. They want to know that you're hearing them, that you understand them, that you're going to listen to them, and that you're not selling them something. And so if you've got you know, a specific niche or a specific problem set in mind that you want to help folks with, then, I mean, you've already started part of that conversation. You've started to answer that. Shep Heitkin calls it the hierarchy of customer needs, and at the pinnacle of it is an emotional connection. And so, you know, it transcends, you know, the shoebox full of receipts or the balance sheet or the Monte Carlo situation. It's all about them and listening to them and understanding them and finding someone who will listen to them and isn't going to just try and sell them something. So, and the trust game is in my mind, I think, so critical in today's marketing. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's actually also another part of the equation for a lot of these firms. They take it a step further by building an event strategy around their audience. So talk about trust building. I mean, this is another gem from the research we've done. When we looked at all the data from the marketing campaigns that advisors have used for referral events, 57% of the clients they invited over the course of a year attended their referral events, 57%. And of that 57%, 34% brought a guest. So think about that. Take your client base, cut it in half, then multiply that times, you know, 0.33. And you've got the number of referrals you can harvest from your book. So what do? You know what your audience likes. You throw an event that they would like to go to. So who is your audience? Are they wine drinkers? Are they bowlers? Are they golfers? Are they political? Are they not political? Are they, you know, what are they? You do an event around them, their interests, their likes, their dislikes. Actually, not their dislikes. You do an event around their likes. There you go. You know what their dislikes are, so you avoid them. And then you invite your clients. Half of them show up and a third bring a guest. And now you've just harvested all these referrals. And what have you done with those referrals? You've built immediate trust because you've looked them in the whites of the eyes. You shake their hand. Maybe you teed off with them. Maybe you drank a glass of wine with them. And now you've bridged that trust gap right there early on in the relationship. So I said it earlier, right? Your biggest competitor is trust. You get people to trust you. I'll give you another example. Let's just say, take a trusted media personality. I don't know. Jack, you watch the news?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch the news, but most people do. But like, who is there a commentator or a news person that you like, trust and like?
No. If you're going to put those two words together in a sentence.
Yeah, it's so tough, isn't it? Let's, how about celebrity? Who's Jack's favorite? You got a favorite celebrity? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
So he retired, but I used to like David Letterman.
Okay, there you go. That's a great example. David Letterman. Okay.
Pretty intelligent guy.
Smart, funny, likable. All right. lots of people like David Letterman. You can do this with any celebrity, it doesn't matter, but I just make it personal. All right. So David Letterman moves to your town and he opens up a financial planning firm. Right on the main drag. David Letterman, financial planning. David Letterman isn't qualified a lick to do financial planning. Doesn't matter. People already like him. They know him. And there's trust. They watched him on TV for enough years. They just trust him. People would show up and they would give him their money. That's just an example. That's trust. And that's the value of promoting yourself, your brand, your business, being a face, being visible. Even if they don't know you, you will build trust over time. And then when they're ready, they come to you and you don't have to close people. They close themselves. You know, you just have to be there to provide the service and don't undermine the trust that you've already built.
Yeah, the whole client event thing is an area that I think has really changed a lot in the last few years. So back in the day, you know, so we're down here in Texas. And so one of our advisors would throw a big annual barbecue, right? And he would have a local tax guy or estate planning guy come talk for a few minutes. And so that would be his client event. But today, the answer is to get smaller. You get larger by getting smaller, right? So instead of a large event, we see advisors having a lot of success. For instance, if you've got, you know, clients that like to golf, let's, you know, take 5 or 10 of them out and let's do golf lessons. You know, let's have, let's go out to, you know, an A1 course and let's, you know, do a little video training and then let's go out and knock it around. Or like you said, maybe we're going to have a wine tasting or a tequila tasting and, we're going to keep them small. Because and we're not going to be talking, you know, product. We're not going to be talking strategy. We know now that people are going to do business with you because they trust you, because they know who you are and they know what you stand for. Okay, that's way more important, particularly with Gen X, right? Gen X is really all about the work-life balance. They're about lifestyle, and so when you start trying to sell them something, the radar goes on, and now you're done. So you know, I think that we may carry this legacy impression of what a client event needs to look like. And I think we need to change the model a little bit. We need to think about smaller, more intimate, more personal kind of situation. So more of an experience as opposed to, you know, an event, if you will. What do you think?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Actually, one of the most successful client events that I ever put on was so easy and so cheap. And it was for about 20 people. And it's exactly what you just described. I literally went to a nice golf club. I bought a bucket of balls for 20 people on the driving range. I had them bring their favorite 3 clubs. And I hired the pro for the day, for a couple hours anyway, just to go out and give them pointers on their swing. So the pro did a demonstration. And then he walked up and down the line and helped each person with their swing. And all I did was invite him and say, hey, we're going to do some free golf lessons on your swing at the golf club. And after, I'm buying beer. And that was it. Everybody came out in the morning. It was about 10 o'clock, not 9:30, 10 o'clock. While it was still cool, this is Florida. We hit some balls. I bought a round of beers. Everybody left. I told people they could bring their friends. It was half clients, half friends. 10 new leads, just like that. So easy. So it was cheap, you know?
It is. And experiences sell.
Yep.
You know, experiences sell, you know, in the way that we handle the folks from the time we say hello until we say, hey, you know, sign this ACAT. And so it's really experiences sell at a lot of levels. So, well, we're at time. This flew by. I appreciate it. Anything you want to say to the advisors in closing?
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate InsureMark and what you're doing in investing in advisors. And I think, you know, there's a lot that, you know, you're offering them and we're grateful to be able to serve them as well. And if we can help in any way, any of the advisors who are listening, you know, hit us up at Snappy Kraken or hit up InsureMark, who also works with Snappy Kraken, and we'll try to help you get some of this stuff in motion for yourself.
Awesome. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us on the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. This is Jack Martin, original CMO for InsureMark. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please like, share, comment, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of InsureMark. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.